Companies often challenge contract awards when the people being proposed by the winner don't meet the qualifications the agency set forth in the first place. That's what happened with one services contractor, but the agency's response made things even more drawn out. We get more now from procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And this case is really one where I think persistence paid off on the part of the protester, right, Joe?
Well, so far. What happened here is this is a procurement by the Federal Highway Administration of services to run a materials testing laboratory. And there were two competitors for the procurement, the incumbent, Professional Services Industries, and a competitor named Genex that tried to get the contract away from it. Genex was identified as the awardee, and Professional Services Industries protested to GAO, saying that the proposed program manager didn't meet the minimum experience requirements in the RFP. Rather than fight the protest, Federal Highway Administration terminated the contract it had awarded to Genex and said it would reevaluate proposals. So it did the reevaluation after GAO had dismissed the protest, and they again awarded Genex a second time. In this time, however, one of the three members of the technical evaluation team dissented from the recommendation and said that the proposed project manager didn't meet the requirements. So Professional Services Industries protested once again to GAO, and this protest went to decision. GAO sustained the protest and held that their program manager did not meet the requirements, and it recommended that Federal Highways Administration either go back and reevaluate or alternatively revise the solicitation to reflect the agency's needs if it didn't do that in the beginning. So the agency took the second course. They decided to revise the RFP, and they changed the definition of program manager's responsibilities, which was interesting. I mean, they did some interesting things there. One thing they did was they got rid of any requirement that the program manager have any experience in managing people. And doing things like performance appraisals, disciplinary actions, etc. The other thing is that they removed the requirement that the program manager have knowledge of program management, which seemed like a strange deletion.
So it sounds as if they changed the requirements to match the contractor they wanted in the first place.
Well, ultimately, that is what the court found, because Professional Services Industries, when it saw the solicitation, decided it. And these weren't appropriate changes, and protested to the Court of Federal Claims. And there the court held that PSI was right, and this proposed corrective action was actually an abuse of discretion. I mean, usually, and the court acknowledged this, agencies have broad discretion in remedying errors in the procurement process, but what they do has to be reasonably related to the error. Here, they made these changes in the program manager's description. By the way, I didn't mention the most important change, which is that if you don't meet one of the requirements, you don't get disqualified as long as you have a plan for how to remedy the fact that your proposed program manager doesn't meet a requirement. So you can, provide for some kind of training or additional efforts to backfill that requirement. And here, instead of judging or reevaluating what the agency's needs were and then changing the solicitation to reflect those needs, it simply rewrote the description of a program manager around the resume of one of the vendors. The court said that they were troubled by that, although the court took pains to say that they were not saying the agency's motives were necessarily improper. That would require a very high level of proof.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a D.C. procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. And so it's almost like reverse wiring in a way when you rewrite the requirements such that the person you wanted for the contract somehow fits.
Sure. The normal way is the agency evaluates its needs, sets those out, says which are the requirements, and then judges whether or not an offeror meets those requirements. This seems more result-oriented in the sense that they looked at one of the bidders and liked what they saw and then rewrote the requirements to meet that bidder's characteristics. It's not the way things are usually done or really supposed to be done.
And you don't want judges telling you you have committed an abuse of discretion either, because discretion is a hard-won thing in federal procurement.
That's right. It is. It's not frequently that judges do this. It takes an unusual case, and this one fit the bill.
And I wanted to ask you about another case in which there's some clarity being given under this protest about whether a company has a fair opportunity to compete under the FAR.
Well, GAO is trying to give clarity in this area, and I'm not sure that this case has succeeded. This is the case of SSI, a recent bid protest. And the question is, when an agency conducts a task order procurement under FAR Part 16, what does it have to do when it conducts negotiations to do those fairly? If it does ordinary procurement under FAR Part 15, there are extensive rules about how you do it and what you do and common closing date, and who's invited and what you have to say. But you don't have those extensive rules in FAR Part 16. Sometimes agencies put more extensive rules into the solicitation, but in this case, they really didn't do that. And here, you have a situation where one vendor had a problem with its resumes in the proposal. And after conducting a round of discussions with all offerors and allowing them to provide new resumes, it went back to one of the vendors and worked on one of their resumes and got that problem fixed. And one of the competitors protested and said that that was not appropriate. And GAO had to consider, without in the absence of rules, what does an agency have to do to conduct these discussions fairly? And in the past, GAO has said, well, we look to the FAR Part 15 rules, but it isn't clear which of them apply. And in an earlier case, Frontline Apparel, they had sustained a protest where the agency had done the same thing. They conducted additional discussions with two competitors and not the protester, resulting in enhanced evaluations for their proposal. So, just on those facts, the two cases are very closely aligned, but in Frontline Apparel, GAO upheld the protest, and in this recent case, SSI, they denied the protest. And the only difference I can find from reading the decisions in some depth is that it appears that in the earlier decision, the offeror had problems with its evaluation in the area where there are enhanced and further negotiations. And so it was reasonable to assume that if they'd had the benefit of those, they might have improved their evaluation and become more competitive. What you've got here is a situation where there's a tension between the need to get flexibility, and that's what agencies are doing, or the FAR is doing, rather, in FAR Part 16, leaving the rules open. And on the other hand, a need to figure out what your basic ground rules are so you conduct a fair procurement. And the less specificity you have, the more doubt there can be about how to conduct a fair and honest procurement.
All right. Another lesson learned from Joe Petrillo, D.C. procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview and to these cases at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.